Lord, thank you for this day, and I thank you for each and every individual that you've brought here with us, Lord, that will share your word with us here, that we can learn more about you. I thank you for their caring enough, Lord, in these trying times to seek your will and to seek your word as we live in these great times of history upon this earth. Just lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, as we get into your word to study and to apply these old ancient scriptures to our daily activities ourselves. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Okay, y'all turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah in that Old Testament. Somebody asked me the other day, said, why are you studying Jeremiah? I said, because what was happening in Jeremiah's day and what we're studying is applicable today in the life that we're living here and the things going on the earth now. Is certainly applicable. I think we stopped at chapter 4, verse 30. That's where we'll start. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Jeremiah gives a word from the Lord. He said, when you're spoiled, when your enemies come in and take over you, what are you going to do? Though thou hast clothed thyself with crimson, though thou hast decked thyself with ornaments of gold, though thou hast rinsed thy face with painting. Ladies, that means makeup. Okay, that's an old English translation of Hebrew that says you all spend some time making yourself up to look good. He says, Israel, you've done everything you can to make yourself look good. You've put on some fancy clothes. You've put on all these ornaments, these gold earrings and necklaces and bracelets. You've made yourself look the best you know how. Then you've looked in the mirror and you've painted yourself all up to make yourself look the best. In vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. Jeremiah says, God is telling you, Israel, you can do anything you want. You can make all the outside appearances of what you really want to look like the best in the world, but when it's all said and done, your heart is still rotten, it's still evil, you still hate me, you've turned away from me, and your enemies are not going to make any difference making a look at you with all this show that you're putting on. It's not going to make any difference to them. They're still going to seek to kill you. Now, he's talking about the enemies he's talking about is Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. They're trying to make these pacts with Assyria and with Babylon at the time to make everything look nice and lovely, but those two enemies both turned on them when they thought they were going to be their friends and help them against the Babylonians. It didn't happen. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child. All you ladies know that have had children, especially the first one, you know what it's like. You know the pain that you went through and the suffering and the agony. Us men don't have any idea. I really don't want to know. After watching Bonnie go through five of them, I really don't want to know. But it says you're going to be just like this woman giving a birth for the first time. The voice of the daughter of Zion that what bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. He said, you're going to be just like that woman in travail having her first baby. The first one is usually the roughest, I'm told. And that's the way you're going to behave. You're going to wrench out your arms. You're going to scream. You're going to holler. I don't remember my first one. I was on a test flight, and I was gone. I delivered Bonnie to the hospital in the morning, the base hospital, and the nurse says, oh, she won't have this thing till about noon or so. So I go on down, and I make three test flights that morning. Two of them we had to make emergency landings, and the third one, it checked out. So I thought, well, it was about noon. I thought, I better call up there and see how she's doing. So I called the hospital. The nurse says, oh, that baby was born a long time ago. Okay. So later on, years later, I said, well, you almost became a widow and a mom at the same time. Chapter 5. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. He's telling Jeremiah now. I said, Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. God's given him instructions. I want you to go down to Jerusalem, and I want you to go through the streets all around, check out the vendors, the people that are selling, everybody there that's doing activity in Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places. That's where all the merchants were. Therefore, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon him. God says, Jeremiah, just to show you how bad things are, I want you to go to Jerusalem, okay, the main city, and I want you to go through all the streets, I want you to go through all the vendors, everybody, and see if you can find me just one man, one person. And he said, if you can find me one just person down there, I'll spare the city. If you remember, Abraham asked God and kept dealing with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then God finally, he kept saying, well, what about 10 men? Lord, if I can find 10 down there, will you spare the city? He couldn't even find 10. Well, Jeremiah's given the task, go down there and find me just one man. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. God said, now they'll tell you when you ask them, oh yeah, God's great, He lives, I love Him, I adore Him, and on and on and on. Lip service is all they're going to give you. Their heart is different. They swear falsely. He said, what they tell you, what's coming out of their mouth is a lie. O Lord, are thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them. Lord, take a look at this situation here. You've stricken them. You've already brought some enemies down and taken the 10 northern tribes away. You've stricken them. And they've not grieved. Thou hast consumed them. I mean, they were taken away by the Assyrians. This is what's called the 10 lost tribes today of Israel. They're not lost. God knows where they are. They were taken out by the Assyrians, but they're not lost to God. They are to men. He said, you've consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. Even after all that, Judah down here, the two southern tribes, still did not repent after seeing their 10 northern tribes taken away. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Jeremiah says, even after the correction, even after the Assyrians came in and took the 10 northern tribes, they just have hardened their heart. Their faces have gotten just as hard as a rock. You all have talked to people before and tried to tell them truths when they were doing wrong or something was happening. You're trying to give them good advice and you watch their facial expressions instead of softening up and saying, yes, I'm wrong. I need to repent. I need to straighten my life out. What do? They harden their heart as Pharaoh did. They harden their face and they look at you. I'm going to do it anyhow. Y'all know that look. We've all seen it. From somebody, I'm going to refuse to return to you, God. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. It's what I like. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. Now Jeremiah comes back and says, hey Lord, well here's the reason. These people are just the poor people of the city that I've been visiting out here in the streets. They don't know very much. They're not very well educated. Most of them probably can't read the scrolls. So, maybe that's an excuse, okay? Surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I mean, they go hear the scribes and the Pharisees, Sadducees, we hear them talk, and the priests tell them what the scrolls say, but they really can't check it out. They're ignorant, poor people. So that's their excuse. I will get me into the great men. Jeremiah says, okay, now I'm going to really get to the head of this. I'm going to go to the wealthy. I'm going to go to the educated, to the intelligentsia, to the ruling class. I'm going to go to them. And I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. Hey, they've got all the education. They can read the scrolls. They're the intelligent people. They're the ones that rule over the poor people. So I'll go to them. And have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. Well, God, they really understand these things. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Well, Jeremiah went to them, and here's what he found out. They didn't care any more about God's word than the poor people he had visited. This is what breaking the yoke and bust the bonds. Hey, God, we don't want your program. We don't want your rules. We don't want your instructions. We want to do things our way. And how many people do you know today that you see and that you talk to are saying the same thing? I don't want what this Bible says. It's irrelevant. I want to do what I want to do. So they have to reap the repercussions. In counseling, I hear this all the time. Totally ignoring God's Word and expecting everything just to be lovely. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Wherefore? Now, because of this, Jeremiah, here's what's going to happen. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. These are the wild beasts. God says these people that are your enemies, that are getting ready to come down on you, will come down on you just like a lion, just like a wolf. They'll spoil, or they're going to take away your goods. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. If you try to get out of the cities, when they surround them, they've laid siege to them, then you're going to get ripped to pieces. Because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increasing. They're just continually getting worse and worse and worse. So I'm going to bring down the enemies, and they're going to treat the people just like a bunch of wild animals. This is what's going to happen to you. Any questions? Any comments? Verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken thee and sworn by them that are no gods. He said, listen, they've forsaken me, and what they do swear allegiance to are these false idols, these stone and wood gods that they have made out here. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery. God says, I took care of them. I brought you out of the desert, brought you into a land of milk and honey, gave you everything that you needed, brought the early rains, the late rains, the great harvest. And then they committed adultery, assembled themselves by troops or in companies in the harlots' houses. He said, now you just degraded yourself even further, not just worshiping idols and everything, but you're going around to all the harlots' houses, the prostitute houses. They are as fed horses in the morning, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Now, I'm not much about horses. I don't know a whole lot about it. My granddaughter is a horse expert. And anyway, what this means, I'm going to give you the common English translation of this, okay? She says that if you feed these stallions real high energy level feed, that they will get totally wild and they are seeking a mate. This is what she says it means. After his neighbor, he said, God here says, you're just like these stallions that are out here running around trying to chase and find a mate. You're acting like that and going into your neighbor's wives' houses. You men, this is the way you've become and the way you're acting. Totally going against my word and how you are to live your life. And he said, this is the way you're behaving. Any questions on that? Any horse experts want to add to that? Okay. I know Ed is. Sandy back there. Shall I not visit for these things? God said, listen, don't you think because of what's going on here, that word visit should have been translated punish? He said, don't you think I ought to come down and punish you for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Listen, remember, Israel had God's Word. They had His complete revealed Word to man at that time. They had all the precepts, all the laws, all the rules that God had told them to live by. And they had agreed to Moses, yes, we will obey these laws and these rules at Mount Sinai. When Moses brought them down and read them to them, they said, yep, we'll agree to that contract with God. We will do it. That was what they said. Now they're going against it. Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. God has always left a remnant of Jewish people on this earth. They have never been eradicated. They will never be eradicated. There is a man today in Iran who is threatening. They say he'll have 4 to 5 nuclear weapons by the end of April. And he has said as soon as he gets them, he's going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Well, God has never allowed that to happen. even in His judgment to the nation of Israel, He says right here, as bad as the Babylonian invasion is going to be, I will not make a full end to the people there. Take away her battlements, I'm going to destroy the cities, for they are not the Lord's. You put up all these walled cities, these fortified cities, not going to do you any good. I'm going to have them broken down, and I'm going to have a lot of the people killed, taken away as captive, but I'm not going to destroy all of you. I've made a promise to you. Now this was, 2,600 years ago that we're reading this right now. And 2,600 years later, there are still Jews on the face of this earth. They're now back in their land. They're there in unbelief, but they're still back in their land. And they're now a sovereign nation, and they're the focal point of the world's attention because they are sitting there where all the commotion around the oil that everybody in the world's got to have, wants, and they're the focal point right now of the world. Back 2,600 years later, after all of this that had gone on. So, again, God is keeping His promise. He's brought them back there. Verse 11. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. He said, listen, they in dealing with me, they were treacherous. They lied to me. They went behind my back and did things. They lied to me totally. That was Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and the 2 southern tribes here. They have belied, or lied, that word would be better translated. They have lied the Lord, lied to Him, and said, it is not He, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. What they were saying to Jeremiah is, listen, they've lied, first of all, about the Lord. They've also told Jeremiah, all this stuff you're telling us is not true. God's really not going to do this to us. I mean, you're lying to us. We don't believe a word you say. We're not going to see the famines. We're not going to see the wars you're talking about. It's just a big lie. We have other prophets here that are telling us the truth. They were telling them nice things. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Jeremiah has a confrontation with these false prophets. And he says, everything's going to be fine. In our country today, we're facing a situation that we've never faced in our nation since it's been a nation. And I watch a little bit of the news. I don't watch it hour after hour, but I watch enough of it to pay attention to what's going on. And I see one group saying, oh, everything's just going to be lovely. Don't worry about being $15 trillion in debt. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen. And then you got another group, which is a smaller group, and they're saying, listen, you better wake up. You can't sustain this type of a lifestyle. You can't sustain a nation on $15 trillion worth of debt and keep printing paper money and everything be lovely. So you got two sides warning us right now. One saying everything's lovely, another side saying no, it's not. You make your choice. Which one do you believe? Well, if you study history, it shouldn't really be any problem to believe which one's telling the truth. Every nation in the history, all through the history of mankind, that has ever done anything like we're doing right now, failed. They're in the dust of history right now. No nation, even the Roman Empire. If you want to study an interesting economic situation, go back and study the latter days of the ancient Roman Empire and what was happening in their economy. Okay? It was doing the same thing that we're doing right now. Exactly. And it's in history. Now, our country is facing the same situation right now. We're $15 trillion in debt. Who do you listen to? Who do you believe? People in America better pay attention. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. God tells Jeremiah, these prophets that are going around are saying everything's okay, don't worry about Babylon, go ahead and make your peace pact with Assyria, make your peace pact with the Egyptians, they'll help you get out of this mess. It's a lie. It says it's just like the wind blowing. They don't have the truth in them. And the same thing's going to happen to them when my judgment does come. Anybody have any questions or comments on this? I know we're getting into a lot of history. We're getting into some politics. We're getting into some economics. But, it's part of God's program. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. God says, I'm telling you the truth. You're listening to the false teachers, but I'm going to make my word just like fire, and you're going to be just like kindling. You're going to get burned up when it all happens. Lo, I will bring a nation. Notice this. Particular nation. He says, I will bring a nation upon you from far. O house of Israel, saith the Lord, it is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. This nation I'm going to use to judge you is going to come from afar. It did, Babylon. You don't understand their language, Chaldean language, and you don't know anything about them. When they get down here, you're not going to be able to communicate with them because you don't know anything about them. But I'm going to use them. Their quiver, where you carry arrows in, any of you have ever shot archery, their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. Their army is massive, mighty, and it's coming down and it's got plenty of weapons in it. They shall eat up thine harvest, thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. Said, what you're doing today, the harvest you're planting for your sons and daughters, they're going to take. You're not going to get it. They shall eat up thy flocks, thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines, thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities or the fortified cities, wherever thou trustest with the sword. He said, you all are going to go run into these fortified cities, and you're going to say, well, they can't get in here. We got massive walls. And they did have. They cut out all the trees. They built fortifications. But when they came in there, they built up these ramparts. There's a description of the Battle of Jerusalem, how they did it. They built up these ramparts up to the walls. They got over the walls. And when they got through, when they finally destroyed Jerusalem, they went against it three times. The last time, they told the army to prise down the walls, break it down, lay it down flat. Don't leave anything but a few poor people in there. And take everything else out. Kill everything. Take the flocks, the harvest, and the people. That's what happened to them. But God says, you think that you don't get behind these walls, you're going to be safe. It's not going to happen. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. God reiterates His promise. There's always been Jews since the time He took them out of Egypt. There will always be Jews. And God says here for the second time, Jeremiah, remind them, as bad as it's going to get, they're still going to be your people. I'm not going to do away with them completely. Hitler attempted to do that in World War II. That was his determined effort to take all the Jews of Europe and annihilate the entire Jewish race. That was his idea. So he didn't succeed. He's now dead. And the Jewish people, all he did. You know, when you look at history, think about this. What did World War I do? It was the war that they said to end all wars. What did World War I do? The only thing World War I accomplished was it opened up Palestine, then called Palestine. The British took over Palestine at that area from World War I. It became their possession. It opened that up. What did World War II do, which was only about 30 years later? World War II came on the scene. The war to end all wars didn't end all wars. It just brought on another intensive war, which they estimate about 60 million people died in World War II. But it brought on World War II. What did World War II really do? The only thing it accomplished, it drove the Jews back to the land of Palestine. Think about it. The remnant that was left in Europe drove the Jews back to Palestine, which had now been opened by World War I. So World War I only accomplished one thing. It opened up the land. World War II drove the Jews back to the land, which God has been saying for over 2,000 years was going to happen. They're back there now. And they formed a nation May the 14th, 1948, against all odds, they fought against six Arab nations within 24 hours after forming their nation. And they were just a bunch of ragtag people left over from World War II. But they won those wars, those battles. And they're there now, and a nation to be reckoned with. Any questions? Okay, look at verse 19. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Jeremiah, when these people ask you about what you're saying, when's this going to happen? He said, it's going to happen, and you're going to serve, instead of strange gods like you've been doing here against me, you're going to serve as strangers in another land. They're going to cart you off. You're going to be their slaves. Remember Daniel? That's what he was. He was a slave of the Babylonian Empire. Fortunately, God used him and his little friends to elevate them up into the palace with Nebuchadnezzar because God had a message that he wanted put out by Daniel. Ezekiel was in the same group that went up there as a captain. What did he do? He lived with the common people out on the riverbanks. But he was a prophet just as much as Daniel. But he had a different position. God had one living with the common people on the riverbanks. He had one living in the palace as the probably the second most powerful man in the Babylonian Empire. Both Jews. Both captives. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. You got all the faculties. You got the eyes to see what's happened. You got the ears to hear what I'm telling you. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Have ye placed the sand, which I have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, and it cannot pass it? Listen, just walk out to the ocean and watch the waves pound on the beach. They don't get any further than the beach. And God said, I'm the one that set that up. I put the sand in the beach out there so it can't go any further. And the waves, as powerful as they are, they pound the beach. They don't go any further. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. That's their limits. I set them. And he said, you're not afraid of me, but yet you can watch something like that and you're not afraid of me. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. That word revolting means disgusting, by the way, in the Hebrew. He said, you've got a disgusting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that hath given rain, both the former and the latter in the season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. Let's don't return to God who's given us all these wonderful things, our harvest of food, the former and the latter rains that bring in the harvest. Let's don't go back to Him. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. The reason your harvests are not coming in like they are, I'll stop the rains. You know, some people wonder about, does God control the weather? He can. I will say this, when it's in His interest to do so, He does so. He certainly has in the Old Testament. He certainly will today once it becomes His will to do so to accomplish His purpose. Yes, He'll control the weather. Does it all the time? No, I don't think so. You know, people ask about tornadoes and things. Well, I think a lot of them are just the fact of nature that we're living in a sin-cursed world today, and they happen. But does He control some of them? There is every possibility that He does and that He uses them for judgment. Which ones? I'm not really sure. I don't know that. Anybody have any questions? I'm going to stop there for time's sake. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. We'll stop right there at verse 26. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. Lord, thank You for this study. Thank You for that great prophet Jeremiah who went through so much tragedy in his personal life, but You used him. Thank You for his willingness to submit to Your will as we should every day, Lord, regardless of the circumstances in our life, whether we like them or not. Lord, we thank You again for this days that are coming up that our nation has set aside to be thankful. We pray that it would get back to You and truly be thankful for the blessings that You bestowed upon us, Lord, and not forsake them, and that we should always remember where these blessings came from. Don't do like the nation of Israel. Seek the false gods and bless them for nothing that they've done for us, Lord, but only You. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, a nice Thanksgiving, and call me if you need me.